The scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter, the third chapter, and it is verses 5 and 6. If you'll bear with me for 1 minute. It says, "For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being being subjective to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by fear."
All right, it's Father's Day. I know that. So why did I have Charles read those two verses of Scripture? It had nothing to do with fathers. But I asked you, if we were to go out into our community this afternoon, if we were to knock on doors and we were to pass around a survey, and on that survey would be these two verses, and you ask them the question, what do you think about Peter's statement that you just read? You're probably going to get a lot of negative comments. There are those in our society who have negative views about Christianity, and one of the reasons is that some believe that the Bible expresses hatred towards women and that it advocates that women are to be enslaved. What about the Christians who want to stay true to God's teachings and yet feel that culturally that teaching doesn't work anymore? What are they to do? The answer is very simple. It is to make sure that the passages in question is accurate to the total teachings of God and not pulled out of its context. But if we were to say at 1 Peter 3 in verses 5 and 6 that wives are to totally submit to their husbands, I'm very sure that many wives, even some here today, would be a little bit upset. But this proves the point that many pull certain verses out of the air to prove their point. And it causes unwarranted controversy and confusion. So this morning, I'd like to take Father's Day to examine what godly men know about marriage and fatherhood. Godly fathers are first godly husbands. In light of the passages that was read by Charles in 1 Peter, some men see themselves as greater than their wives. But the simple fact is that godly men do not have to prove that they are superior to anyone. Godly men are comfortable knowing that they belong to God, that they are saved by the blood of Christ, and that having been given the blessings from the Creator, they also understand that one of the blessings that they have received is their wives. God gave Eve to Adam as a gift. And as such, a godly man appreciates the gift of his wife. But after we've read verses 5 and 6, we really need to read verse 7. Peter writes, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You put those three verses together, does that sound like slavery? God makes it very clear in this verse that a godly husband seeks to live with his wife in an understanding way. And men, knowing our wives is a lifelong journey. Now, some may argue with me on this, but it is a good journey. It is a good journey. But to know our wives as God is commanding us is to know that she deserves our gentleness and respect. For the most part, they are very delicate. For the most part, they are like a piece of fine china. To know who we are as husbands and to treat our wives as God teaches us is thus a spiritual benefit that we don't often discuss as men. And that is our prayer life. How many times in our lives do we feel as if our prayers do not seem to be accomplishing much? We think we're seeking God. We think we're seeking His will. But we continue to struggle with our own issues. And we might have thought at one time or another as men, why isn't God helping me? We might say to ourselves, I keep praying. There seems to be nothing. And then maybe by chance somebody might ask you the question, well, how's your marriage? And I know what I would probably think if somebody asked me, it's none of your business. But you know something? As Christians, it is our business. We want to think of ourselves as perfect husbands. And that we treat our wives with understanding and with respect. But deep down within ourselves, we've known we have fallen short. And we need to keep our focus on the very end of verse 7. Husbands, do we want a good prayer life? Do you want God to hear you calling out to Him? If the answer is yes, then we need to treat our wives with gentleness and respect and understanding as heirs with us in the grace that we call the Christian life. Then, when our marriage is truly one in God, watch what God can do with our prayer life. If what men know is that to be a good dad, a good father, it starts with being a good husband. What then things are the things that good fathers know about being that good dad? For that, I like to go to the 127th Psalm. In that Psalm, verse 3 to be exact, the psalmist writes that children are a heritage, or in other words, a reward from the Lord. Just as God presented Eve as a gift to make Adam more complete, children or a gift from God. Now, in the climate that we have today, we don't seem to hold children in very high esteem, at least the unborn. But they are a gift. Children are not possessions for us to boss around, but they are gifts for us to treasure. Now, children, don't take that too far. There are limitations. I do that or I'm going to have every parent on top of me when I leave here. While they are a heritage to us, we need to remember as fathers that they belong to God. But we don't look at it that way very often. The reality of it is, though, that we are just stewards of our children for the first 18 years or so. During those years, it is our job, our responsibility to get them ready to spend the rest of their lives with the true Father, God Almighty. Many of us grew up knowing that we were loved. Sadly, some did not. But even those of us that grew up knowing we were loved, we also grew up thinking that sometimes all we were was a remote control for the TV before there were remote controls. Son, get up and change the channel. Son, get up and change the channel. Son, get up and move the rabbit ears around so the picture comes in. For those of you who don't know, rabbit ears are not old enough. Rabbit ears is what you have to use to get a TV station in. We probably felt that our parents were pushing us around, that they bossed us, that they told us to clean up our rooms, to help in the yard and do all sorts of things for which we didn't get paid. There was much more. Maybe our parents talked about God with us. Maybe our parents prayed with us, and not just at dinner time. Our parents wanted us to be God's workmanship, God's tools to bless others and to be blessed by God and others. You know, many of us have grown up to know and understand because of our parents that life is not fair. But oftentimes, as we've grown up and the advice and wisdom that was imparted by our parents, while at the time it was given, we thought was foolish, as time went by, we realized just how wise and right they were. But we also learn that when God builds the house, it is a good house. No Father's Day message would be complete without Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, we need to face it. We try to raise our children wanting what is best for them. And chances are we do push them hard, sometimes too hard. I would say all of you here this morning have tried to live this verse. But we need to understand also that by making them angry, It isn't going to solve any problems that we face as a parent, as a child, or any problem that our children would face alone. We want to offer them a good discipline, a sound discipline, but we also want to offer them good and sound instruction. And discipline is more than negative consequences being laid out on the child. Discipline is about getting them to move forward in the right direction. And sometimes during that time, our children need a course direction change. Maybe they're veering too far off the straight and the narrow. And during those times, discipline is needed, but so is instruction. I pray that as we continue on as fathers and as grandfathers and as great-grandfathers, that we will work and strive to pass on the baton to our sons and also our daughters. Because our instruction as men does not just go to sons alone. Fathers can also teach as much as the mother of what a woman of God should be. And there was a man who wrote about a time when he was a young child and he became extremely ill. And his family, they didn't have the money for a doctor. And so they did the best they could. And in times past, a lot of families dealt with that. Either they didn't have the money for a doctor or there was none around. And so they had to do the very best that they could. And one night, as he got worse, he could sense that his parents were very worried and very scared. And he could sense that even as a child. And one night he woke up from his feverish sleep and there was a light that was coming into his room and it showed that there was someone sitting by his bed holding his hand. And at first he thought it was his mom. But he knew by the large, strong hands that they belonged to his dad. And his dad was there in his work clothes. And he was praying over his son. And as he reflected on that night, he said something that I think is very relevant for all fathers today. You can't just show up for the big moments. Because you see, you never really know when they will come. You have to show up every day. And I guess that's what defines what godly men know. To show up every single day as a godly husband and as a godly father. To let God build the house is to enjoy the gifts God has given us. Being a dad, being a father, is a great joy. There is no greater joy than coming home from a day at work and having your children meet you at the door with hugs and kisses. Because they know they're loved. I hope you are as blessed as being a husband and a father as I am today and every day. In the Lord's great wisdom, He made man and woman to go together in this life together. Not apart. and the blessings of those unions are the children that we get to enjoy as a blessing each and every day. Fathers, continue to be the love and the gleam in your children's eyes. Continue also to share with your spouse, your wife, the love and understanding, so that your children, when their time comes, will know how it's done. If there is anyone here this evening or this morning who desires to become a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity this morning. The honor, the privilege, and the blessing of being a child of God is without measure. It assures you a hope of eternal salvation. It assures you an inheritance far greater than any inheritance we could ever receive in this life, an everlasting life, through repentance and confession, through being washed by the blood of Christ, being buried in this watery grave. You will have that hope of eternal life, and you will be an heir. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have not been doing the things in your life that God appreciates, and you know that you need to make the change to come back. Through that same blood, you can be washed again through repentance, confession to Him, God the Father, and He will forgive you. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.